be in common use. It's the way that we talk about church and the way that we interact together that makes me wonder if this isn't the way that we feel about church sometimes. So let me give you the first one. Do we view church as a gas station? It's a place you come to sort of fill up your spiritual tank. You get a little low, and you need sort of a pick-me-up on a Sunday, and so you come to church, and you hope that what goes in sort of lifts your spirits before you leave. You want to be sort of recharged spiritually. Another way in which I find people think about the church is sort of as a theater. A theater in the sense that this is a platform where the action happens, and you out there are the audience, and your main responsibility is to look at what's happening on the platform and either approve or disapprove. That there's a performance somehow going on, and you get to come and watch a performance. And sometimes people start to think that that's what church really is. It's just coming to watch a performance, and so you choose your church based on what kind of a performance you want and how good it is. Church is a big box retailer. It's the one shop stop for all the programs that you think a church should offer you. And so you come into a church and you flip open the bulletin or you look on the web page and you go, how many different aisles and products does this church have to fill all the needs that I want? And so it's like a shopping trip as you try and figure out where you want to be. I think sometimes we even think of the church as a tourist destination. It's a place that you drop in and visit. It's a place you go to occasionally when it's something that you feel want to do. And so you drop in on a church, and sometimes you get tired of one church, and so just like tourist destinations, you don't want to go to the same place every time. And so you drive around. Find the right place. Place to drop in and visit. Not a huge sense of commitment or permanency here, but a thrill. Those are all faulty, inadequate metaphors. Oh, guess I didn't click one enough. No wonder everybody's looking baffled. Why are we all in the store there? Mandy, you should have yelled at me. You're like, click again, click again. Let me read this to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 18. Here we get a very different metaphor. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in high regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. At the end of the service, we'll come back and look at what are better metaphors for the church. But 1 Thessalonians makes it clear that there is a relationship that's worth investing in. There is something about church that should be important and that should be very personal. And so this morning, as we celebrate together, again, it's a privilege to do that as a company of people. I don't know how often you look to your left and your right and behind you and in front of you and actually thank God for the people that are around you, because that's what makes us us. The church is not this building. The church is the people and what they do together. How and why we worship and glorify God. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, bless us this morning as we come together as a church. There are lots of churches that get together on Sunday mornings. There's lots of people who have affinity for each other. There's lots of people that are getting together around the Word of God, and they are praising you. They are thanking you. They are worshiping you. Some, like us this morning, are going to have a communion service where we reflect for a few moments on that very personal sacrifice that was a very public spectacle that ultimately changed the course of our lives. We are here this morning to remember and be thankful. So thanks for each other. Thank you on this morning that is Mother's Day on the calendar. There is a greater sense of who we are together as we look again at the beauty that you have created, what it means to be family. And so we bless and thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I saw that in my office, I actually did cry a little. I honestly did. I laughed that hard. We do have a baby dedication today. And before we call the family to the front and we celebrate with them, I kind of remind us that it's more a parent dedication than it is a baby dedication, because we recognize in the humor of that video what's involved in being a parent and parenting our children. And we know that there are days when things go really, really well and we feel kind of proud about ourselves. There's days when not so much. Last night, a group of us went to go see the Blackwood Brothers and a gospel quartet group that was there. It was a really cool night. Really enjoyed that. And I may have heard of the Blackwood Brothers somewhere in my history, but didn't really pay attention. Some of you might know who they are. What I found interesting is part of that night, they gave out some Lifetime Legacy Awards for a couple of individuals who had been involved in the music scene, in the gospel music scene in Vancouver and area for a very long, long time. And it was kind of cool to be a part of something like that. But the Blackwood Brothers started in 1934. So that's like an 80-year legacy that they have. And obviously, you know, the group that's up there now, I think it's the son of the father who is still the original Blackwood brother member. The rest are obviously not brothers anymore, but the quartet is carried on. And it kind of reminds me of what I kind of want to share with you here this morning as we kind of lead into this parent dedication. So if you can throw that PowerPoint up for me. Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Simply says this: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So I've shared this message before. I try to do this regularly with you because I want us to always remember of just the value of the passage of time. When you think of a Lifetime Legacy Award, I don't know whether the Blackwood Brothers, when they started in 1934, had a vision that this is going to go for 80 years or plus. And as parents, we know intuitively that our children will grow up, and we know that at one point they will have to leave home. But when they're really, really young, there's some days when time just passes by slower than we may want. And I said to you before, I actually have this marble on my desk, and it's a reminder to me. It's a simple illustration of a marker of time. So if one marble were to represent 1 week, there's approximately 936 weeks between birth and graduation from grade 12. Approximately 936 marbles. So each week we're losing our marbles. Kind of intentionally. So I've got about that many marbles up here right now, just to illustrate what happens when time passes. The young child in the family we're going to celebrate with today, this many marbles has already passed by. kind of scary, actually. Time just poof goes by so quickly. What I find interesting is statistics tell us that children will make a decision for Christ before the age of 12, approximately. Statistically, the odds are against us to make an intelligent, rational decision for Christ beyond age 12. It used to be about 18, and the statistics have kind of slid backwards. Kind of sobering. So if this were to represent everything beyond that age, we have about that many marbles. It's kind of sobering to look at it that way. We in children's ministry obviously are focused in this area because we have about 6 years with our children, 52 weeks times 6 years. That's how much time we have. And why is this so valuable? Because that little marble that's on my desk reminds me that what I do this week matters. Because this week builds upon next week and builds upon next week, and it's what we call collective momentum. If you think of a rail car, a train, and you can put as many cars on that train if you want, it takes a while to get this thing going, doesn't it? But in contrast to some of the movies out there, trains cannot stop on a dime, can they? I remember working for CN Rail when I was in high school, and I think my dad told me a full train to go from their maximum speed to a complete stop is approximately 2 miles. It takes approximately 2 miles for it to come to a complete stop. Am I close, Dale? I think I'm kind of close to that, aren't I? It's about that. Collective momentum. It takes a while to go. So when you think of, you know, week after week, my child is only a year old. Wow, it's going to be like so far until my child turns 18. I've got so much time, but we know what happens. Those of us who are parents, we know how quickly time flies. And all of a sudden you go, what happened to all that time? How did it pass by? Some of us are grandparents and great-grandparents, and we look back and go, how did it go so quickly? And Psalm 90 reminds us, remember us to count our days, measure our days. Let us be aware of them, because it reminds us of the value of time. When I pay attention to how much time I have left, I tend to get serious with the time I have with them now. And that's why that simple little marble that's on my desk reminds me every week matters. Every week makes a difference. As parents in our homes, week after week, month after month, season after season, we know that, and I've talked to enough of us, you know that the season that's behind us, because we know there's seasons to our life, you kind of go, I miss that. And we know we really can't go back, can we? Because every season brings with it its own priorities. So I just want to outline very quickly, what are some things that we do with this time? Why is it so valuable? So I kind of want to go through this fairly quickly. Time well spent over time makes history worth repeating. The simple number one priority of time is spend time with our children. Because time well spent over a period of time, that's where we have this thing called collective momentum. See, the idea of the marbles is simply a simple way of visualizing the passage of time. That's all it is. And the challenge I've put before parents is take some of these marbles home. I'm going to give this family a bag of marbles, 1 year's worth of marbles. And just a reminder, every week, just move one marble from the full bag to the emptier one to remind us that time passes by. Time matters. Take a time to step back and press pause and look at how we structure our time. Can we create breaks? Can we plan activities? The time we spend here at church, when we eat, when we do chores, when we play, that time is not just passage of time. It matters. Time well spent over a period of time creates a legacy that is worth repeating. Secondly, love. Love over time helps children establish a healthy sense of worth. You know, all the commandments, Jesus reduced them down to really one or two, didn't he? Love the Lord your God and love each other. Love. Love over time. Loving God matters. Loving yourself matters. Loving others matters. Loving God helps you love yourself. Loving God helps you love others. Loving yourself helps you love God. Loving yourself helps you love others. Loving others helps you love God. Loving others helps you love yourself. Love. It kind of boils down to just simply be there, doesn't it? Just show up. Kind of like the mom goggles. Thirdly, words. Words over time influence our children to keep moving in a better direction. We're not motivated by an action or by a phrase, but by words that move us over time. There's a few words that our children need to hear from us regularly. Simple words like, I love you. I believe in you. I understand. God loves you. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I made a mistake. Fourthly, stories. Stories over time connect our kids to a bigger world and shape their perspectives. We don't understand the world through a single event, but through a collection of stories built over time. You know, you think of Jesus in the New Testament. How did he talk to us a lot? Wasn't it through stories? Jesus says, let me tell you a story so you can get a glimpse of God's character. God is like a father with a rebellious son. God is like a rich man who goes on a journey and leaves his estate in the hands of his servants. God is like a bridegroom throwing an incredible wedding party. Those are stories. Jesus then pulls us into the stories and he says, we are like the casual hiker who stumbles across an incredible pearl in the middle of a field. We are like the woman who badgers and pleads with an unjust judge until he gives in. We are like a builder furrowing his brow as he decides between two plots of land, one rough and underlain with rock, the other's idyllic and sandy. Number five, tribes. Tribes over time establish a circle of relationship where they can experience belonging. We talk about belonging. Pastor Matt started off this morning about the illustration of church. It's a tribe. It's a place that we belong. It's a place our children belong. I like to go so far as to suggest that the two primary tribes that I think God uses to shape us is our home and our collective community, the church. That's why time here is valuable. Finally, fun. Am I up there? Fun. Fun over time fuels quality friendships and personal resilience. We don't discover how to live in a moment, but we live when we experience the joys of life over time. If you can spend fun with each other as a family, as a community over time, that is how we build this legacy. You see, time matters. When we think about how much time we have left, we tend to get serious about the time we have now. When we see how much time we have left, we tend to make what matters matter more. Teach us to number our days aright, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom, collective momentum. It's built over time. We do this individually as families. We do this collectively as a church. And I think on a day like today, on Mother's Day, it's appropriate that we celebrate with one family as they said that they want to be intentional about how they're parenting their child. And as they start, they want to be intentional about having us be a part of their journey. Kevin and Kira Jones, it's been their choice to have dedicated their son, Reed Michael. So you guys can come on up when you are ready.